The Lord be with you.
And
it is good to have you in the house of our Lord this day as we receive his gifts. A couple of announcements. Thank you to the men's ministry for all the work yesterday, cleaning up all the pine needles and such, some of the giant drifts that you see still out there, a product of the labor yesterday. We appreciate everyone coming out and having spare rakes after I broke mine. You can't get out early. You break your rake, they hand you a new one. Tomorrow night, council, 6 p.m. 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, council meeting. Choir has moved to Tuesday because of the holiday. Choir is Tuesday at 6:45. We also have Bible class at 7, so, you know, pick your poison, as they say. And Thanksgiving Eve service, 6:15 Wednesday. Wednesday evening, 6:15, we'll gather together to commemorate our day of national thanksgiving. The order of service is before you. Let's join in the opening hymn. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's nothing like the recent headlines to make you stop and think about the transient and fragile nature of all of creation. And then you hear the words of our Lord today, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains." Just the birth pains? This is only the beginning? Is it going to get worse? It seems like that's what Jesus is saying, doesn't it? But why does he say this? The arrogance of the disciples, for one thing, who seem to think that they have an enduring city, an eternal kingdom in Jerusalem. "Look at this great temple complex," one of them says. "Look at the huge and impressive stones stacked here. Surely this is going to remain forever, this great temple. Nothing can destroy this. God put it here." Oh, really? "Do you see these great buildings?" Jesus says, "there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Even the great temple complex will be destroyed. And if you go to Jerusalem today, you'll see those great stones. in rubble piles, still lying where the Romans pushed them in 70 AD, never to be used again. So we are at the end of the world, in a sense. Night has gotten longer. Much of the world has gone dormant. The calendar and the church year both near their ends. And so we are at the end of things and the beginning of things. Next week, Jesus speaks directly to you. Today, he speaks directly to his disciples. And he warns them that Jerusalem will fall, that the holy city of Israel will be destroyed, that thousands will die. Yet the church shall remain. Three times, Jesus warns them to look out, to keep watch, and to be on guard. Deceivers will come, spies will betray them, they will be punished for the proclamation of the gospel of the crucified and risen Jesus as the only way of salvation. But then, Peter and James and John and Andrew pull him aside. They ask him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? What's the sign of the end times, teacher? How will we know that it's the end of the world?" Jesus saves that answer for next week. But he warns the 12 that there's a more immediate danger, that the world itself will start to come undone, that the actions of man and of war and of nature will rain destruction upon creation. And that's just the beginning of the end. Our world is dying. Creation is coming undone. Earthquakes are shaking the world apart. Blood runs in the streets all over the world. Flames and smoke fill the air. But this is nothing new. Our Lord himself said this would happen. Sin drives this destruction. Satan gleefully deceives those who think that they serve God by killing others. And all of this will pass away. None will remain. So Jesus speaks to the 12 about the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman armies. He warns them to flee the city when it begins so that they may carry the gospel to the nations. But he minces no words about the end of Jerusalem and her temple. There's a greater reason for the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in particular, though. And it must have been incredibly startling for the disciples to hear it. Because the place of our communion with God shifts. There's no longer a single place, one physical temple where the believer meets God. Rather, now you gather where Jesus is, where your Lord Christ has promised to be for you, where the risen Christ promises to be present in his flesh, both in his preached word and in his sacraments. Wherever his word is proclaimed and his sacraments are rightly administered, there Christ is present in his body. He's not locked up in one building, in one place, in one holy of holies. But wherever his word is spoken, wherever his body and blood is given for you, wherever his law is preached in its severity and his gospel is proclaimed in peace, there Christ Jesus is bodily present. There you meet God. There you stand before the Almighty Father. And you are able to do this because of the birth pains. And those pains began on a Friday outside of Jerusalem on Golgotha. When Christ Jesus was lifted up on his cross, when he shed his blood and cried out, "It is finished," as he died, when the earth shook, when darkness covered the earth, and when the tombs of the dead were rent open and they walked the streets, The disciples asked for a sign, but the one thing that could be called a sign isn't a natural sign at all. The proclamation of the gospel to all nations is the one sign given to us that the end is near. What are you to do, though, in these strange and latter days? What of you, you who trust in the Lord, but haven't been given a direct word from the Lord? There's a reminder in Jesus' words. He says, "The one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who remains in the faith given in baptism will be saved." This dying and sin-filled world will try to tear you away from your Lord. Your sinful flesh and the devil will try to turn you away from the saving faith given to you. But patient endurance leads to salvation. So come here to where your Lord promises to be for you to gain that endurance. Don't go out there in the world and try to make it on your own. Don't think that you can just sit at home and pray your way into heaven. Don't think that you've got your baptismal certificate or your confirmation certificate, so you'll be fine. Don't try and face the onslaught of this sin-filled world and the deceptive words of Satan without any backup. Do you want to endure to the end and be saved? Then gather where your Lord strengthens you for that endurance. Receive from His own hand, from His own mouth, that which He freely gives you to strengthen you. Because in this world you will be tried. You will be tempted. You will be deceived. You will be frightened by what the world will do to and around you. But all of these things will pass away. All of these things will end at the coming of our Lord Christ on the last day. Until that day comes, be vigilant. Be careful. Gather here. Gladly and freely receive what He gives to you. As the psalmist says, "Come into His presence with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise." For here, your Lord Jesus is present in the flesh, in His body, for you. Outside those doors, the world rages. Creation itself leads you astray. But here, where your risen and living Lord Christ speaks, here, where your Lord Jesus offers you His body and His blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, here is salvation. And here you endure to salvation, for here your Lord promises to give you nothing but that which lasts unto eternity. Salvation and forever with Him. Here Jesus fills you with Himself, that you may be comforted, that you may be saved. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.